Hello, I want to welcome you to this session in our series on marriage. You know, we've been talking about the three most prominent problems in marriage. We've identified them as sex, money problems, and infidelity. In session five, we talked about sex problems and how we can adopt the biblical principles to make it one of the most wonderful aspects of our marriage. In our last session, we talked about money problems and how that if we'll handle money the way God intended and the way He instructs in His Word, then this too can be a blessing and not a curse in our marriage. Today, we want to talk about infidelity. And we want to give you some biblical principles that will help you affair-proof your marriage so that this is something you never have to deal with through your lifetime of being committed to your spouse. I'll tell you something. Very few marriages can survive affairs or infidelity. You know, one of the commandments of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20 is thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery is any sexual activity outside the confines of your marriage covenant. So, what we want to do is, in today's session, look at ways that we can ensure that adultery never reaches its wicked hand into our marriage to rob us of the joy and fulfillment God wants us to have in our marriage covenant, and to do the things necessary to affair-proof our marriage so that infidelity will never be a part. You know, when you read the Bible, you understand a basic principle about God's nature. God is faithful. Did you know that's one of His names? God is faithful. That's His nature. And so it makes sense that when God built marriage, He built faithfulness into the as one of the main components of marriage, if marriage is to work correctly, if it's to be the happy, fulfilled relationship that God wants it to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, in today's world, people have adopted permissive values. Values that allow for wrong and infidelity and things that the Bible speaks against. You know, the Reader's Digest recently said that 50% of all husbands will be unfaithful to their wives, and 35% of all wives will be unfaithful to their husbands. I think that's a crying shame. You know, in over 30 years of being married, I've worked hard to keep infidelity out of our marriage, and God has helped us to be successful because we've embraced the biblical principles and we've built the kind of boundaries around our marriage that enables us to be faithful to one another. Let me tell you something. God hates infidelity. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4 says, give honor to marriage and remain faithful to one another in marriage. God will surely judge people who are immoral and who commit adultery. Friends, you just can't get any plainer than that. The Bible condemns infidelity. God hates infidelity. God wants us to be faithful. He's a faithful God, and He wants us to be faithful in our marriage covenant to one another. And God wants us to remain completely faithful to each other. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. God wants us to remain sexually pure in the marriage and faithful to one another, but He also wants us to remain faithful to each other emotionally. I mean, you don't want to be married to somebody who's having sex with someone outside the confines of marriage, but we also don't want to become emotionally involved with others outside the confines of marriage. No, God wants us to remain faithful. Now, what causes affairs and infidelity? Well, I've isolated four or five things I'd like for us to talk about. First of all, unmet needs. If somebody has the sense that their needs aren't getting met, well, the answer to this is to prefer the other person. We've already said several times that we don't get married to have our needs met. We get married to meet the other person's needs. That's the godly approach to marriage. That's the Christian approach to holy matrimony. And so, if we're so consumed with meeting our spouse's needs, then we don't really have a lot of time to think about us not getting our needs met. But I'll tell you something. I've never seen a marriage where one spouse is more interested in meeting the other person's need, and the same thing, vice versa, where both people don't feel like their needs are being met. It just works that way. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Happiness comes from blessing someone else. Here's another cause sometimes of infidelity. Unfulfilled expectations. We enter into marriage with lofty expectations that everything's going to be perfect, and then we run into the realities of life and realize that there are difficulties and problems in all relationships. So the answer to this is we must abandon our expectations to the Lord. We don't enter in with high expectations of the performance of the other person. No, we abandon those expectations to the Lord. Another cause for marital infidelity is unresolved conflict. In other words, we don't deal openly and honestly with open and honest communication when conflicts arise. You know, a perfect marriage is not a marriage free of conflict. A perfect marriage is a marriage where we learn how to deal with conflict in a loving, open, and honest way. So, what's the answer to this? The Bible says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, you deal with conflicts as they arise, and you don't bury them or put them off. We don't procrastinate. We don't let the little things build up to become great big things. Another thing that sometimes causes affairs is an uncommitted spirit. In other words, we're just not anchoring our marriage on commitment like we should. Let me tell you something about true love. True love is a choice you make. And so we got to have the kind of marriage that is anchored in love, and that love must be built on commitment. Till death do us part. And you know, when you have Christ living on the inside of you, that's the kind of commitment they want to have, because Christ's nature is faithful. And we can be faithful if we have His nature living on the inside of us. So, we battle unmet needs by preferring the other person. We battle unfulfilled expectations by abandoning our expectations to God. We battle unresolved conflict by not letting the sun go down upon our wrath and dealing openly and honestly with conflict. And we battle an uncommitted spirit by anchoring our marriage on the kind of love that is based in commitment. And so now what I want to do is give you six steps, six things that you can do to ensure that infidelity never comes in and destroys your marriage. Now, this is important, and I hope you'll take heed to the Word of God. Six preventative steps you can make to fair-proof your marriage. The first one, make a commitment to God's standards. Not the world's standards. Not the permissive values of this world system. No, we want to make a commitment to godly, biblical values. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to the word of God." You know, in Genesis chapter 39, we have the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. This happened about 1,100 years before Christ was born, and Joseph, of course, loved God and was committed to the Lord, and he found himself in a lofty position in a rich man's house. The man's name was Potiphar, and Potiphar's wife set her affections upon Joseph and tried to seduce him in the home. The Bible says that Joseph didn't succumb to her seductions, but ran from her and remained faithful to God and didn't participate in this adulterous affair that this woman was trying to seduce him to. You know, that's the faithfulness of the Lord. That's God's standards. Joseph remained faithful to God's standard, and that's what God wants us to do. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 15. Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your spouse. So, you want to make your commitment known. Sir, in the office, you want to make your commitment to your wife known so that everybody's crystal clear that you're committed to your wife. Ma'am, in your social circles, you want to make it crystal clear that you're committed to your husband. We're faithful to God, and we're faithful to each other. Another thing we can do to fair-proof our marriage is to magnify the consequences. Let me tell you something. Hurt and pain like you've never known. There's nothing that hurts worse than betrayal. It's horrible. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32, "But the man who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys his own soul." How many times have I seen people weeping bitterly over their indiscretions and their infidelity? I'm telling you, it just wrecks your soul. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 26, "For a prostitute will bring you to poverty, and sleeping with another man's wife may cost you your very life." Death surrounds adultery. I'll tell you something else. Adultery brings the judgment of God. The Bible's clear about this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4. "Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral." Friends, if we fear God, then we want to keep ourselves away from infidelity. You know, I've been married to my wife Karen now for over 30 years. And there are three reasons why I've remained faithful to her. Number one, I love Jesus. I don't want to disappoint my Lord. And I fear God, and He's warned of judgment if I'm unfaithful to my wife. The second reason is I love my wife and kids, and I can't imagine putting them through the heartache and the pain that my infidelity would cause them. I can't imagine having to face my little wife or sit down and face my children having been unfaithful and having destroyed this marriage that God has given us. And another reason, I fear God. I don't want to stand before God and have to be judged because I've disobeyed His commandment to be faithful in my marriage. You know, another thing you can do to help fair-proof your marriage is maintain your marriage. Work hard at keeping the romance alive. Work hard at honoring your spouse. Work hard at building a closeness and an intimacy and a unity in the marriage. Work hard at building your marriage. And let your goal be to remain faithful no matter what. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 3. The husband should not deprive his wife of sexual intimacy, which is her right as a married woman, nor should the wife deprive her husband. So maintain the marriage. Keep romance alive. Keep intimacy burning white hot in the marriage, so that neither will be tempted to look outside the marriage covenant. And head off Satan's attack before it happens. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 5 says, "So do not deprive each other of sexual relations, so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control." You know, Alan Alda, the comedian, said this of his wife Mary, "It may be easy to leave your spouse, but it's not easy to leave your best friend." So we want to maintain our marriage and work hard to have the kind of relationship where we become best friends so that we don't want to disappoint one another. We don't want to be unfaithful to one another. Here's another thing we can do to affair-proof our marriage. Manage your mind. The battle takes place in the mind. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says, "But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death." So what we've got to do is we've got to handle infidelity when it first pops up in our mind and get rid of it. Don't allow it to stay. We've got to cast it down. Get it out of our minds and don't even contemplate unfaithfulness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. "Run from anything that stimulates youthful lust." We've got to be quick to hit the eject button. If you're in the office and someone gives you a look that you know is not wholesome, then you got to get away from that situation right away. We must win the battle of the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, "We take captivity every thought and make it obedient to Christ." We don't allow unwholesome thoughts to come in. And if they come in, then we're quick to cast them down and bring every thought into obedience to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then, another thing we can do to affair-proof our marriage is maintain proper relationships. In other words, you don't want to become too close to people outside the marriage covenant. We want to keep our closest intimacy for our husband and our wife and maintain proper relationships outside the marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 3, "But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." So we want to be very careful. And there's certain things that you don't talk about with anyone except your spouse. There are certain subjects you don't breach with anyone except your spouse. And when it comes to sexual things and things about intimacy, our spouse is our best friend. They're the ones that we talk these things over with, not the people down at the office, not the people in our social circle. So we maintain proper relationships. And if somebody tries to bring us into that kind of intimate talk, we just run from it. We don't allow it to happen. And we insist that our friends understand that we're going to keep the relationship proper and that there are some things we don't talk about with anyone except our spouse. And then there's one more thing, one more biblical advice I'd like to give you as we work to affair-proof our marriages and keep infidelity away from our homes. Minimize the opportunities. By that I mean we want to build godly boundaries around our relationships and around our marriage so that infidelity never has the opportunity to invade our marriages. Call them safety boundaries. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, "And do not give the devil an opportunity." I've done that in my marriage. Did you know in over 30 years of marriage, I've purposely never been alone with another woman? Even when I'm involved in counseling, I have a window in my door so anybody can look in at any time. It's not that I'm afraid I'm going to do something. It's just that I want to build the kind of boundaries that never gives an opportunity. I don't give sisters at the church rides home. If there's somebody that needs a ride and I'm alone, I might call them a taxi and pay for it. I don't take my secretary out to lunch unless my wife is with me. These are the kind of boundaries that you can build around your relationship to ensure that you're never victimized by infidelity. And then choose your friends carefully. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." We teach this to our children, but as husbands and wives, we need to obey the same principle. Be careful who you hang around with. Be careful who your friends are. And you want to make sure that you have godly friends who respect marriage and the boundaries of holy matrimony. And those are the people that we have fellowship with. And then the last thing, keep yourself spiritually strong and alert. This is another way you can minimize opportunity. Malachi chapter 2, verse 15. "So guard yourself. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth." In other words, you want to keep a right relationship with the Lord. Keep yourself strong spiritually so that you can withstand the temptations of the enemy and that you can embrace the nature of God, which is faithfulness. All the joy of being faithful to God and being faithful to your spouse. This is the kind of marriage God wants us to have. And we can affair-proof our marriage as we embrace these biblical principles and ensure that the evils of infidelity never ruin the wonderful relationship and marriage that God has given us. That's my prayer for you today. Would you let me pray with you before we end the session? Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for marriage and we thank you for the closeness and intimacy that we have in the marriage covenant. But Lord, we recognize that the enemy would like to destroy this thing that you have done. And so I pray that you will help us to remain faithful, faithful to you, faithful to one another. I pray that you will help us to do the things necessary to affair-proof our marriage and to keep infidelity from invading and victimizing us in our marriage. Lord, I pray that you, by your wonderful Holy Spirit, will help us to magnify the consequences so that we'll realize how destructive infidelity can be. Help us to make a commitment to your standards. And then I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to maintain our marriage and to keep the fires of romance burning. Help us to manage our minds and cast out any evil imaginations. And then I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to maintain proper relationships with others and help us to work hard to build the kind of boundaries that will minimize opportunities. And then I pray that you will help us to remain close to you so we can be strong in the Lord and the power of your might. And we thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.